You know, there are lots of issues in churches. I just talked to someone this weekend about going to church, and I said, I want to tell you something ahead of time. You're going to find some issues, because there are issues in churches. There is disunity in churches. There is sin in churches. Some churches are full of hypocrites, and, you know, just so y'all know, if someone ever says that to you, I always say, you can come on, and we'll have one more, right? Because there are hypocrites in churches, because we say that we should be holy and like Jesus, and we're not always holy and like Jesus. Sometimes we are, but not always. You know, some churches are led by poor leaders. Some churches do not allow their leaders to lead. Some churches have financial challenges. There's just a lot of issues in churches. However, nearly every church has at least one specific problem, if even on a small level, and that one problem is gossip. Gossip. Gossip is sharing information about other people, which is often unconfirmed and usually seeks a reaction. That's a little definition. That's mostly a conglomerate of other definitions that I've kind of put my own spin on. Sharing information about other people, which is often unconfirmed and usually seeks a reaction. By the way, if you're someone who likes to write down every word, these will be on the website tonight, or this afternoon probably, okay? But some of the blanks are there in your bulletin, but not all of them. Former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt said this, "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people." I don't think that's always true because, you know, I'm discussing her right now, and so she's a person. I hope to think I don't have a small mind, but anyhow, I think it's well said. It brings out a good point. Pastor Rick Warren, you might remember him from the 40 Days of Purpose, the Purpose-Driven Life, Purpose-Driven Church. He says, gossip is saying behind someone's back what you would never say to their face. That's a good test to know if you're gossiping. Would you be willing to say this to the person's face? Some of you might be willing to say some stuff to people's face. Maybe you shouldn't say that. So this is not a foolproof test, but motivational speaker Steve Maraboli said, gossip, you got to kind of pay attention to this one. Gossip is just a tool to distract people who have nothing better to do from feeling jealous of those who do have something better to do. Okay? So gossip is just a tool to distract people who have nothing better to do from feeling jealous of those who do. You know, gossip should not be part of our churches. Yet in many churches, gossip is alive and well. So what should we do? We should stop that, right? Stop that. Indeed, that's our sermon for today. Stop gossiping. Now, before we go any further into the sermon, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to us, because after all, this is kind of a sensitive topic to folks. And I think one of the reasons most of us, or many of us, are sensitive to this topic because we know we are guilty as charged. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts so that we can learn from this passage or from this message today. Join me in prayer. God, we do need to hear from You this morning. Help us to see what gossip is, whether it should be a part of our lives, part of our churches, or whether it should be something we seek to stop and replace with something better. God, we need to know Your wisdom. We need to know Your love. We need to know the way You can change us from a life of sin to a life of holiness and faithfulness to You. We just need to hear from You, God. So would You bless us and speak to us this morning? Lord, there might be somebody in this room who does not know Jesus as their Lord. They do not know that Jesus could save them from their sins and make them new and help them discover all who they are meant to be in Jesus Christ. So I pray today, through this message about a specific sin from which we should turn, that they understand, Lord, that they should turn from all of their sin and turn to Jesus. And I pray that they realize that they cannot do that on their own. They need Your power, Your love, Your forgiveness, and help them to see they can find that in Jesus. And for those of us who are already in Christ, may we never be satisfied to stay where we are, but may we only be satisfied in becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, as we consider this topic this morning, we're going to consider three negative characteristics of gossip. And again, you have a place to take notes in your bulletin. You can use that if you want, or whatever you want to do. We just make it available for you. But here are some reasons that you should stop that, okay? So reason number one, gossip parallels lying. Gossip parallels lying. Now, you might say, what do you mean by that? Well, to be parallel with something means to be beside it or to run with it or to be in the same direction or position as that thing. So my hands are parallel right now. They're going together, right? They're running together. That's what it means to be parallel. So here's what I mean by that. Gossip is not exactly the same as lying. Sometimes it involves lying. But gossip is not necessarily exactly the same as lying, but it's in the same family as lying. Gossip and lying hang out together on the weekends, okay? They're close. They are. Gossip and lying are parallel to one another. So listen to what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says about gossip. It says this, "A gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence." You see here that lying is saying something that you shouldn't say, and gossip is saying something that you shouldn't say, right? Lying is saying something you shouldn't say, and gossip is saying something you shouldn't say. The two run parallel together in the same direction. You know, lying can do a lot of damage, can't it? Lying in churches can especially do a lot of damage. You know, I remember a time in our church, since I've been pastor, where there was several lies going around. And praise God, that's not happening today, at least not to my knowledge. If it is, probably shouldn't tell me about it. Actually, in reality, you probably should tell me about it. But there was a time when there was some lying going around in our church, and I thought, this is going to get out. If this gets out of hand, this could tear our church apart. So we had to deal with it. We had to deal with that lying. And by God's grace, it came out well. You see, but here's the other thing, too. Gossip can do a lot of damage in churches, can't it? Gossip can do, all of us, we readily accept the fact that lying can do damage in church, but sometimes we want to kind of baptize gossip and say, well, it'll be all right. We can do that and things will be all right, but gossip can do a lot of damage in churches. You see, when we gossip, what we may mean is something to get attention or to make ourselves look interesting can actually cause a lot of damage. James speaks about this in the book of James. He says in James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, "So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue is a fire." See, what you say with your mouth matters. What you say with your mouth can cause a lot of damage. The tongue is a fire. Lying can burn someone. Gossip as well, both for the one who said it and for the one about whom it was said, can be burning to them. It can be like a fire. So gossip parallels lying. Second, we learned that gossip pries apart the church. I just spoke about this a little bit just now. Gossip pries apart the church. Think about some things that are easy to pry apart. I thought about some things. Perhaps a banana peel, right? Banana peel is pretty easy to tear apart. If you can't tear apart a banana peel, just do some hand exercises, okay? You need to work on that, okay? How about this? How about Velcro strips? By the way, Velcro is a proper noun. The actual name of this is hook and loop tape. But nobody knows what that is. It's Velcro, right? So Velcro strips are pretty easy to pry apart. Again, if you can't do that, you know, go to the gym, okay? And then this is really easy, boiled peanuts. How many of you like boiled peanuts? I got some boiled peanuts yesterday, and now I'm just telling you, it was a sweet moment of just satisfaction to eat those boiled peanuts. They're really easy to pry apart. You just get the water, the juice everywhere, right? You get it all over your face. You just enjoy the boiled peanuts, you know. Put a bib on or something. Just enjoy the boiled peanuts. Those are some things that are easy to pry apart. But what are some things that are difficult to pry apart? How about a group of a collection of rusty parts? You know, like rusty. Those are hard to pry apart. right? Just looking at that might stress you out, right? But here are some other things that are hard to pry apart. Frozen steaks. Anybody ever, you forget to set out your meat early, but you got to, I'm cooking that. I don't care. I'm cooking it. You get out there and you try to pry it apart. Man, that's hard. It's hard to pry apart frozen steaks. I haven't really figured out the best way to do it, so just set your meat out early, okay? You also might think, this one came to mind. I thought this was cute. Newlyweds are hard to pry apart, aren't they? Newlyweds. And that's good. They should love each other and want to spend time together. Newlyweds are hard to pry apart. So here's a question for all of us. Should the church, and you can answer out loud, should the church be easy or hard to pry apart? It should be hard, right? It should be difficult to pry apart the church. The church should be bound together in love and unity and strength so that nothing can pry us apart. Yet gossip can pry apart a church. Gossip can pry apart a church. It's very powerful. And here's the reality, too. The more you gossip in a church, the easier it is to pry the church apart. Maybe the gossip isn't what actually pries apart the church, but it makes it more vulnerable to something else prying it apart. Because you see, gossip can weaken the unity and the bond and make it easier for a church to be pried apart. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28 says. It says this, a contrary person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. See that? Close friends. A gossip separates close friends. Someone who gossips can separate close friends. Indeed, they can separate a church, which should be a group of close friends, really more like family. We're family in a church. But gossip can separate, can pry apart a church. Listen to how the Apostle Paul spoke to the church in Corinth when he was concerned about their health. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, for I fear, he says, I fear that perhaps when I come, I will not find you to be what I want. Perhaps there will be quarreling, jealousy, angry outbursts, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. You see, most of us would look at that list and you say, yeah, all that stuff's wrong. But gossip's not that bad. But see, Paul put all that in the same list. Paul knew that gossip, among other sins, was not good for the church. You might think, is it really that big of a deal? Can what I say really hurt the church? Well, I've told you some about what the Bible said, and I'm going to continue to talk to you about what the Bible says, but let's just look at some research. A study by the Hartford Institute for Religion Research found that 28% of churches report frequent conflicts. Not occasional, frequent. Nearly one-third of all churches report frequent conflicts, many of times which are caused by gossip. The Barna Group reported that 1 in 4 unchurched, these are people who don't come to church, unchurched individuals cite church conflicts and gossip as significant reasons for avoiding religious institutions. You want to know why some people don't go to church? Because we gossip in churches. And they realize that they don't want to be a part of that. Listen to this. 66% of Americans say gossip is harmful. 66%. That's a lot. Recognize that gossip is harmful. And that's certainly true in the church as well. It's harmful. It pries apart the church. Gossip is powerfully destructive. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How about that? That's pretty powerful, right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Gossip can pry apart a church family. Third, we learn that gossip pleases the devil. Gossip pleases the devil. I dare say most of you in this room did not wake up today and say, I hope I please the devil. Some of you woke up and said, I hope I please the Lord. And you should. You should want to please the Lord. That's good. But gossip is sinful. Gossip is evil. Think about, you might say, that's pretty strong, Pastor Matt. Evil? Yeah, it's evil. If something pleases the devil, it's evil. If something is sinful, It's evil. Here's another truth. The devil is pleased when those in the church sin. The devil is pleased when those in the church commit evil acts. The devil is pleased when we gossip. In the beginning part of the book of Romans, Paul lists a series of deplorable sins that are part of what he calls a corrupt mind. Think about how strong that is, a corrupt mind. See if you can catch what is among these deplorable sins in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. He says this, "They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful." That's a bad list of stuff right there. And in that list is gossip. Gossip is a godless behavior from a corrupt and evil mind. It pleases the devil, but it does not please God. And you might say, you sound pretty serious about this. None of this was my opinion. This is all from the Bible. The Bible seems pretty serious about this. And here's the deal, though. For some reason, gossip is attractive for us, isn't it? You see, for some reason, people enjoy participating in it. Of course, none of you, right? This is for other people. But people enjoy participating in gossip. There's something about having some inside information that makes us feel important, right? You just want to get that, something about having that inside scoop that you feel a little more, you feel a little better about yourself. Well, let me tell you, did you hear about Pastor Matt's blah, blah, blah? I'm saying, no, tell me about that. There's something about having that information that makes us feel special. And God knows this about us. He knows what our temptations are. He knows what our weaknesses are. He knows where we're weak and where we're strong, and he knows how the world can inch in on us and cause temptation. He says this, God's word says in Proverbs 18, verse 8, "A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being." You say, well, that sounds good. That's what I want. But no. It feels good in the moment, right? Like delicious food. Feels good in the moment. That's why it's so tempting. You say, well, this feels nice. But it's not good. It's evil. It's evil. You might say, well, I thought delicious food is good. Sometimes it is. But I thought of this when I was preparing this sermon. In fact, this just came to me this morning. I had the sermon mostly done, but this just came to me. I said, it's like someone who is lactose intolerant eating a big ice cream sundae. In the moment, it tastes good, doesn't it? You're like, man, this ice cream is so good. By the way, I don't know if this is a thing, but the older I get, I think the more intolerant I become to ice cream. Each time I eat it, it's a little less enjoyable a little later, you know? And it's like eating that delicious ice cream sundae when you're lactose intolerant. It may taste good in the moment, but it's going to cause some damage later. That's how it is with gossip. In the moment, it might feel good. Might even feel like no big deal at all. Like, what could be wrong with this? All I'm doing is saying, you know, something, blah, blah, blah. Might get a good laugh. Sometimes we might disguise it as a prayer request. We just pray for Pastor Matt. Man, I just think he's really an idiot. Let's just pray for him. That's just mean. That's not actually gossip. That's just mean. You might say, hey, would you pray for Pastor Matt? I heard Pastor Matt's, you know, he's just having a lot of trouble with some of the leaders in the church. He didn't tell me that, but I heard that after the Wednesday meal. Let's just pray for Pastor Matt. How about this? Just pray for Pastor Matt and don't tell everybody about something you don't know to be true. Or just go talk to Pastor Matt. Say, hey, Pastor Matt, I heard you were having trouble with the leaders in the church. Sometimes I might say, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm a little concerned now. Or I might say, you know, something happened, but we got it resolved, and it's no big deal. Or I might say, yeah, there is an issue in the church. Probably not appropriate for us to talk about it right now, but I would love for you to pray for me. Why don't you just keep that between us and just pray? Now, I'm giving an example about myself, but it could be any situation, right? And sometimes we want to disguise it as, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I just want to know a little information, or maybe I just want to pray for somebody. But in our hearts, we know we're not living by the right motivation, right? Our motivation is not just to help people. Our motivation is for us to know something and for others to know that we know something. And here's what that does when we do that. It pleases the devil. You see, this secret, or this, it's not secret, but this innocent seeming thing is actually evil. And we need to remember that. So we need to be careful, brothers and sisters. Let us not allow the devil to infiltrate our lives. Let us not allow the devil to infiltrate our relationships. And let us not allow the devil to infiltrate our church. Nothing would please him more than to infiltrate our church. Don't let the devil use your words for evil. Instead, adopt the attitude described by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where he says, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Listen, he can devour you and others through gossip. He can devour a church through gossip. So, be alert. Be sober-minded. Be looking out for the adversary roaming around like a lion. And let us be ready to shut that sin down, to shut down that evil, to shut down that roaring lion. Don't let the devil devour you and our church by using you for gossip. Gossip is evil. It is not for a child of God. It pleases the devil. So gossip is parallel to lying. Gossip prides apart the church, and gossip pleases the devil. Hey, here's our bottom line for today. Stop gossiping, start encouraging. Stop gossiping, start encouraging. You see, gossip is disrespectful to a person. Gossip will tear down a person. Gossip will harm and discourage a person. So do the opposite of gossip. Encourage somebody. And do it, of course, with a genuine heart. And don't encourage them to say, well, it's good to see you finally learned how to put together yourself today. You look great. And that's not encouragement. That's sarcasm. Encourage them genuinely. Find something to encourage people with. You see, gossip tears down. Let's build up people instead. Let's encourage one another. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways is through encouragement. We build each other up through encouragement. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. That's pretty straightforward, right? Don't say things that tear people down. Say things that build people up and give grace to those who hear it. I don't think we recognize this enough. I think we do recognize that we are saved by the grace of God. I think we do. I hope you do. You're saved by grace alone. The grace of God. You did not deserve to be saved from your sins, but God in his grace sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, get buried, and then rise from the dead and ascend into heaven powerfully, miraculously, so that you could be saved from your sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we could be saved. That's grace. I think we recognize that. But I don't know that we recognize that we can be dispensers of God's grace. God can show his grace to other people through us. That's incredible. Because I'm just going to tell you, if you don't know this already, God's grace is awesome. God's grace is amazing. But listen, the Apostle Paul says here that when you say things that build up others, you give grace. God's grace is given to those who hear it. That's amazing. When you gossip, you please the devil. When you encourage, you please God. And you distribute his grace to other people. So church, let's be committed to giving grace to each other and building each other up. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, Anxiety is in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. How about that? There's a lot of anxiety floating around America. By the way, this might come up later in our series, okay? But there's a lot of anxiety all around us, and it weighs people down when they're anxious, when they're worried, when they're consumed with something heavy on their heart. But the Proverbs say a good word cheers up someone's heart. You know, you don't have to only encourage people in the church. By the way, let's do that. Let's do that. Start there if you're not doing that. Encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. Say something kind and uplifting to them, but you can encourage everybody you come in contact with. And listen, there are some people who seem like they're not going to receive your encouragement no matter how hard you try. But I think it's actually making more of a difference than you realize. Some people have a hard shell, right? And it's hard to crack through that shell. But who's to say that someone else is not going to come right behind you and encourage them as well? Especially, hopefully, if they're from our church. To encourage people in our community and just make a little bit of a difference here and there, and just give them the grace of God through an encouraging word. Think about how powerful that would be if all of us did that. Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verse 34, I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. Church, as Jesus loved, let us love one another. Let us encourage one another. You should never be more encouraged than when you're around your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if that's not the case, we need to fix something. We need to fix something. So don't be a gossiper, be an encourager, which takes us to our weekly challenge. Make a pledge to encourage rather than gossip. Make a pledge to encourage rather than gossip. Some of you might, and I know this because people say this to me. They say, Pastor Matt, you were talking to me. You remember what I said the other day. That's not how I prepare sermons. I'm just going to tell you, that's not how I do it. It's not. I mean, sometimes I think about situations, but I don't go, boy, I better put that in my sermon. I don't do that because this is the Word of God speaking to all of us. There's no one in this room who is exempt from this. All of us need to learn from this. But some of you might genuinely be looking back and saying, man, I've really messed up with this. I've done some damage. I want to encourage you to do a few things. First of all, this is not in my notes, but this is free. First of all, if you've done some damage, make it right. Make it right. If you've done some damage, listen, I talk about this before. It's something I'm really passionate about. Our culture has forgotten how to apologize. We have forgotten how to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. We have forgotten that. It is terribly modeled for us in our world. People don't do it. If you've harmed somebody through gossip, ask for forgiveness. Say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That's number one. Number two is, outside of what I just said, don't look back, look forward. Don't look back, look forward. Commit from this day forward, make a pledge from this day forward to be an encourager rather than a gossiper. Don't live in the guilt of the past. Okay, again, if you need to make something right, make it right, and then move forward. Don't live in the guilt of the past, live in the hope of the future. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't look back, look forward. You have been set free from sin in order to live for Christ. So make a pledge and say, you know what, I might have been the biggest gossip in Polk County, but now I'm going to be the biggest encourager in Polk County. Take that stance to say, I make a pledge to encourage people, to build each other up. Here's the other thing, too. If you're a gossip, you obviously like to talk. And some people obviously like to listen to you. Well, that's a good situation to be in if you make a pledge to be an encourager, right? You like to talk? Well, get out there and encourage people. People like to listen to you? Well, get out there and encourage them and encourage others along the way. If you use your desire to talk as a means to encourage others, God will use it in a wonderful way. I can't wait to see what God will do through those of you who take this pledge personally to be encouragers. I can't wait, because God is powerful and He can do something great through you. The question is, will you be used by the devil or will you be used by God? Now, some of you may not know if what you're saying is gossip. So I want to share with you something that was shared with me, and many of you have probably heard this. This is actually attributed way back to Socrates. Socrates said something similar to this, not exactly, but ask yourself these questions. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? How many of you have heard this before? All right, good. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I teach this to my kids, you know. They might say, and that person is really ugly. Is it true? Maybe. Is it necessary? Definitely not. Is it kind? Not at all. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Hey, a lot of times they won't make it back past the first question. Or I'll at least say this, do you know it's true? Because you might say, well, it might be true. I don't know. It might be true. Well, don't say it. If it's a might be, don't say it. Is it necessary? Well, let me think. Is it necessary that somebody knows that some leaders in the church are mad at Pastor Matt? Probably necessary that Pastor Matt knows that. Is it necessary that everybody at my dinner table knows that? No, I don't think so. Is it kind? Well, again, using that illustration, it's probably kind for me to tell Pastor Matt just so he knows, hey, you got some problems, buddy. You need to take care of that. Just want to let you know. Love you, buddy. That might be the kind thing to do. Is it kind to go tell the pastors at the other churches in Bartow? No. No, it's not. By the way, this is fictitious. Some of you are like, man, he's struggling with something. I don't usually tell you all the real stuff I'm struggling with. This is hypothetical, and I hope I never have to share that with you. This is an example to help us learn, right? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I think that will really help eliminate 90% of the gossip that we have. Maybe more. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And here's the other thing about that, because some of y'all, I know how it is because I'm a human as well. Yeah, this is a sin that I struggle with as well. Here's what usually happens to me. You get halfway into it before you realize it, right? That it might be gossip. And then what do? Do you finish your story? Or do you just go, hey, wait a minute. I probably shouldn't share the rest of this. And then someone might say, come on, you can't leave me hanging. I say, you know, I'm going to have to. But let me tell you another story that's really good. And then tell them a good story. It's not gossip. But so I know how it is. Sometimes we try to justify it, right? Is it true? Well, it might be. Is it necessary? It could be. Is it kind? Maybe. But here's a good rule of thumb. If in doubt, don't share it. If in doubt, don't share it. Nobody's going to have a worse life because you didn't share that. Unless it involves that person directly. By the way, if it does involve that person directly, come tell them. You can even say, hey, this did not originate with me, but I want you to know what folks are saying. That's a loving, kind thing to do. And hopefully that person treats you as if that was a loving and kind thing to do. Maybe they might get mad in a moment and you can say, hey, wait a minute. I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm just telling you. If you don't want me to tell you this kind of stuff in the future, I don't have to. Sometimes we get caught off guard when we hear information like that, right? We're kind of like, what? What'd you say? They say, oh, wait a minute. I just wanted to tell you because I didn't want to tell other people. And I think the Lord will honor that. So this is just some practical tips for you because I believe all of us struggle with this on some level. But here's the thing. I believe all of us can be powerful encouragers. And I believe it'll change the world when God works through us as we dispense his grace. Hey, as we come to a close here, I want to share something. Because some of you are hearing this and you're like, this, you know, again, this doesn't really sound like a big deal. Well, just ask yourself, is evil a big deal? Is evil a big deal? And don't let us overlook this, church. Because we should constantly be examining ourselves to see how we can be more like the ones God created and called us to be. Disciples who love God, love the church, and love others. If we love others, we're not going to gossip. If we love the church, we're not going to gossip. If we love God, we're not going to gossip. So let us constantly be trying to be more and more like Jesus. But also, you might be here today and you're like, hey, I got a lot of stuff I'm struggling with. Like, this the gossip's not even on my radar. I got some other things I'm struggling with, and I don't know that I and I'm right with God at all. I want you to know, Jesus gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins, including gossip, by the way, to pay for those sins. Because the reality is, we're not right with God apart from Jesus. Without Jesus, we are lost in our sin. We are helpless. The Bible says we are dead. We are enslaved. We are in darkness. We are blind. We are deaf. I mean, all you just go on and on and on. It is a terribly desperate situation in which we're in when we are in our sin. And the Bible also says we cannot get ourselves out of that mess. We can't. We can fight and fight and fight. And it's like spiritual quicksand. And the more we fight, the more we sink in our sin. We just can't get out of it. And that's a hopeless, helpless situation. The Bible says God saw us in that situation, and he loved us in the midst of our mess. He loved us. And he loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to live a perfect, gossipless life. He never gossiped. He never sinned in any way. And he gave his life on the cross to pay the penalty for sin, because the Bible says what we deserve for our sin is death. Jesus paid the death penalty by dying on the cross. He paid for your sin so that that payment could be satisfied in the eyes of God. It could say paid in full by Jesus dying in your place. The Bible doesn't stop the story there. It says Jesus rose from the dead, demonstrating that he had power over sin, power over death. And not only that, but that you too could have power over sin and power over death, power over gossip and all the other sins that tear at our hearts. We can have power over that in Jesus Christ. The Bible says you can walk in a new way of life. So if you've never been set free from the chains of sin, you can change so that you can say, as we sang a little earlier, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. You can be set free by the power of Jesus. In Christ alone, you can be set free. We're going to pray in just a moment. It's a time of response for us to just respond to how God is working through his word. Some of you, I am a firm believer God is working on your heart right now in some way. He's working on my heart. And if God's calling you to turn away from gossip, be obedient to that. Just say a little prayer to him as we sing in just a moment, as we respond. Just say, God, I'm sorry that I've been used to do the devil's work. I want to be used by you to do your work, including encouragement and so much more. Just pray that prayer to God. Maybe you need to come down here and you just feel compelled to come down here and spend some time in prayer at these steps. You're welcome to do that. We invite you to do that if you feel led to do that. Maybe you need to grab someone else by the hand and say, would you pray with me? Would you just come alongside me? I just need some encouragement. Would you pray with me? Hey, somebody better encourage you after I just preached that message about encouragement. But however God is leading, maybe you need to talk to one of our pastors. I'll be down here. Pastor Richard will be down here as well. We'd love to pray with you, answer any questions. Maybe you're one of those who recognize I'm still lost in my sin and I need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Come tell one of our pastors. We'd love to pray with you. Just come on down while we sing. However God is working, maybe it's after the service. Right here in this room, after the service, you grab one of us. Or maybe it's sometime later. Don't ignore the work of God in your life. It's always better for us to follow Jesus than to follow our own fears or our own sin or our own hesitations. Follow Jesus. Listen to what God's saying to you through his Spirit and follow Jesus. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing.